We now bring to these microphones David James. Yes, it's that time of the week. You can check your clock. We get together each and every week on this broadcast to have a conversation with David for the purpose of helping us to understand an issue, a key issue, and the biblical perspective of that key issue in order to be able to know how to live out our Christian life. David, I guess we catch you on a ministry trip into the New England area. Where are you exactly?
That's right. I'm in a small town called Center Barnstead, New Hampshire, and I'm working with Brian Gower, who's pastor of the Center Barnstead Christian Church, and I'm up here to do a conference in New Hampshire State Prison for Men in Concord. It's the third time I've done a conference there. And this time I'm talking about doing a series on lessons for life from the book of James. And then on Sunday morning, I'll be doing a concert at the church. So it's great to be up here again and have this kind of ministry.
We'll be sure to give our greetings to Brian and all of his people. I've been to that church a number of times for prophecy conference. And indeed, we'll be praying that you'll have a great ministry there in the prison. David, we've been following a story that first began breaking this last week concerning Hank Hanegraaff. He's known as the Bible Answer Man, who actually has converted to Eastern Orthodoxy and has become a member of a Greek Orthodox church. What can you tell us?
Well, that's right. Actually, it was on Palm Sunday that he officially became a member of the St. Nectarios Greek Orthodox Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, where he and his family live. And actually, in explaining and responding to questions and comments and concerns about his conversion, he said that he'd actually been attending an Orthodox church for over 2 years, and he officially became a member on Palm Sunday, and he was what's called, the term is chrismated, into the Orthodox Church. Now, he says that it's a result of something that happened when he was in China, and he ran into some disciples, second or third generation disciples of Watchman Nee, who had some very strange theological views in certain ways. And what's interesting about this is that Dr. Hanegraaff, as he's been talking about these things, he says that his nothing about what he believes in his faith has changed. Well, if nothing has changed, then something was wrong in people thinking that he was actually a conservative evangelical in his beliefs, because there are distinct differences and important problems between Eastern Orthodoxy and evangelicalism.
Yes, that is of a concern to me, since he is known also as the Bible Answer Man. And maybe some of our listeners have heard of Hank Hanegraaff because they've listened to that broadcast, the Bible Answer Man. But most probably don't know much about him. What can you tell us?
Well, he was born in the Netherlands, moved to the United States as a young boy, I believe. He was originally associated with Dr. D. James Kennedy at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Florida. So his background, and this would be, you would expect this coming out of the Netherlands, was Reformed. And then in the 80s, he became associated with Walter Martin at the Christian Research Institute. And Walter Martin is most well known for his book, Kingdom of the Cults. So he was deeply involved in counter-cult and apologetic ministries. And then when Dr. Martin died in 1989, Hank Hanegraaff became the president of the Christian Research Institute and took on the title of the Bible Answer Man. So he's been on the radio for a long time. But, you know, it's not been always a smooth ride. He's come under criticism on a number of fronts, and we'll talk about some of them later as regards to eschatology. But on the other side, end of the Bible, in the beginning, Ken Ham took him to task in an article posted on the Answers in Genesis website where he notes that the Bible Answer Man does not hold to a literal creation, doesn't believe that there was a literal serpent in the Garden of Eden that spoke audibly to Eve, and so he would accept a long day-age theory or some kind of evolutionary theistic evolution. So there are problems with his theology.
David, we've been doing our weekly conversation, this segment on the broadcast, for over 3 years now. But I don't think that we've ever discussed the Eastern Orthodox Church before. Talk to us about who they are.
Well, that's right. They consider themselves the original true Church of Christ, going back to the founding of the church in Antioch and then spreading into the Greek-speaking world. And so they consider themselves the eastern part of the church in what became the eastern part of the Roman Empire, and then later the Byzantine Empire, which was centered in Constantinople, which is modern-day Istanbul. And then in 1054, there was what is known as the Great Schism, where they split with the church in the West, and they rejected papal authority. They decided to use icons or paintings rather than statues, and there are other theological issues. But there are a lot of areas of agreement with the Roman Catholic Church, which is a big problem in and of itself. They would agree on the first seven ecumenical councils of the church. They would agree on apostolic succession. They would agree on many of the sacraments with the Catholic Church. In fact, they also believe that the bread and wine at the Lord's table actually turn into the body and blood of Christ, just as the Catholic Church does. However, the differences would be that they reject papal authority and the teaching authority of the Western Church. They reject the remaining 14 ecumenical councils. And there are other doctrinal differences as you go down the line.
David, let's take a moment and talk about two very important issues regarding Eastern Orthodoxy, its theology of salvation and its theology of the future, eschatology. Are they biblical in your view?
No, there's some very important differences and unbiblical ideas that basically are like Roman Catholicism in that they believe that salvation comes through both faith and works. And on the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America website, you'll find a statement on salvation, and they say, I'm quoting, "The reception of the gift of salvation is not a one-time event, but a lifetime process." Well, that's exactly like the Roman Catholic Church, and they would say that we are co-workers with God in our salvation. They would say that baptism is what unites us with Christ. So it's a works-based salvation rooted in faith, but includes works. So it's not by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone.
Many, many times, David, we say on this broadcast, we repeatedly say it, a proper hermeneutic, a proper method of interpretation is key to understanding the Bible correctly. And so I guess it should be no big surprise that Hank Hanegraaff could make such a change into the Greek Orthodox Church from evangelicalism. And man, this is not really that big a surprise, but everybody should pay attention to it.
Well, that's right. You know, sometimes we've described eschatology as the litmus test for one's hermeneutic. And what we mean by that is, where whatever your eschatological view is, in other words, the view of last things, your view of the fulfillment of prophecy in the Bible, whatever your view of that is, that will tell you what kind of hermeneutic someone is using, how they're interpreting the Bible. And so the eschatology of the Orthodox Church is that they believe that the 1,000 years in Revelation 20 are just a long period of time. They don't believe in a literal millennial reign of Christ here on the earth. And so they reject the idea of the rapture, the millennial reign of Christ, the tribulation period. So their eschatology is off. Now, if you think about Hank Hanegraaff, he also has been anti-dispensational in his stance. He does not hold to a literal millennial reign of Christ here on the earth. He believes, for example, that the beast of Revelation was Nero, and Nero was the emperor in the Roman Empire in the 60s of the first century. He believes the pre-tribulational rapture is just a theory, and he does not hold that it would happen before a tribulation period. So his hermeneutic led him to those conclusions, and his hermeneutic allowed him to become a member of the Orthodox Church. And if his theology has not changed and his doctrine of salvation has not changed, then that should be no surprise. That problem with the hermeneutic leads you to those conclusions. In fact, he is known to have said that the Catholic Church itself is not necessarily a false religion.
Wow, wow. David, I remember back in December of 2007, there was a formal debate at a conference where I was speaking, the pre-trib study group. I was there to give an update on current events. But at that same conference, there was a debate that took place on the date of the writing of the book of Revelation, which is key to interpreting the book of Revelation. And at that conference, there was a debate between Hank Hanegraaff and Mark Hitchcock. Talk to us about it.
Right. Well, Hank Hanegraaff dates the writing of the book of Revelation in the mid-60s, and that is before the destruction of the temple by the Roman general Titus, who later became a Roman emperor. That happened in 70 AD. So he believes that the book of Revelation was addressing Nero and what was leading up to the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem in 70 AD. So he believes that a good number of the things in the book of Revelation have already happened as far as the beast is concerned, as I already mentioned, that it was Nero. Hank Hanegraaff explicitly denies being a preterist. Now, preterist is another word for past. It's just a technical word for something that's happened in the past. And preterists believe that the destruction of the temple and everything in 70 AD and is a fulfillment of Matthew 24 and the book of Revelation. Now, he does believe that some of the things in Revelation are still future, but Mark Hitchcock, in contrast, who is a good prophecy teacher, he took Hank Hanegraaff to task, and from reports I've heard, he really did a great job in laying out the fact that the book of Revelation was written in the mid-90s while John was on the island of Patmos, exiled not by Nero, but by the Emperor Domitian. And so we see the book of Revelation as the things happening in the future after you get past chapter 3.
You know, there's another serious problem with Hank Hanegraaff. He's long been a very anti-Zionist, including being involved with an annual conference there in Bethlehem called Christ at the Checkpoint, which we've discussed before on this broadcast. And at this conference there in Bethlehem, Israel, always it has a lineup of very anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian pastors, theologians, and activists. This is really of a concern as it relates to Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, that's right. I was just looking at the Christ at the Checkpoint manifesto. In fact, I have it in front of me. Their first point is the kingdom of God has come. We would say that the kingdom of God is not come and will not come until Jesus returns after the tribulation, as described in Revelation 19. He says their third point is that racial ethnicity alone, meaning the Jewish people being a Jew, does not guarantee the benefits of the Abrahamic covenant. So they would deny that literal national Israel has a future in God's program, and that the promised land is now being fulfilled symbolically and allegorically, spiritually in the church, and so they would say that the Palestinian people have as much right to that land, and since there are Palestinian Christians, which are definitely brothers and sisters in Christ, that they have as much right to the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, including all of its promises, and they take a very anti-Israel stance because they believe that Israel is occupying the promised land and oppressing and persecuting the Palestinians.
David, thank you so much for your research and this expose on Hank Hanegraaff and what's going on. Now, we're not attacking, we're simply giving the facts about this man who's converted from true Christianity to Greek Orthodoxy and really has a bad, bad understanding of eschatology. The body of Christ needs to understand he's not truly the Bible answer man. Thank you, David. We'll have another conversation next week.
Thanks, Jimmy. Good to be with you again.